Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking it out. We had a record month in January. I appreciate all of you who are using it to your advantage. It makes me happy to think that the work that we're doing is being used, it's being appreciated, it's being you're benefiting from it, which I know you are because you keep coming back. And thank you for joining our happy throng of newsletter subscribers, those of you who did that. And over 10,000 happy people are subscribing to our newsletter every it comes every week by email on Sunday. Get you ready for the week ahead. And more of you are checking out the blog, and we appreciate that very much. That's the thing that we'll send to you every weekday if you want us to. Or you can just come and get it. It's just... The good thing about our blog is multimedia. It's what's going on in our life today, which includes the four interviews that I do every day, and an article for you too. So hope you check it out. Also, there's a photograph or two up there when you check it out too. Let me get back into our Small Business Survival Course series that I've been doing now. We started out with financial, moved to human resources, then we moved to management. Now we're in marketplace. And yesterday I talked a little bit about the word marketplace. And one of the things that I just want to point out before we move into customers is one more thing about the marketplace. And that is that it is not even really aware of your existence. As much of a dynamic functioning entity that it is. It that you can plug into, if you think about it, it's a wonderful, wonderful place. It's a wonderful thing, the marketplace. And it can be very benevolent, but it can also be very dangerous. But mostly, it's not even aware of your existence. The marketplace doesn't care about you at all, whether you live or not, whether you succeed or not. The marketplace doesn't care about that. That's what's so interesting about it to me. It's thriving. It's functioning. It's vibrating. It's moving and it's such a force, but yet it's not aware of you, which is a good thing. It's like blind justice. What that means is that you're not going to get a bad deal from the marketplace. If you get a bad deal, it's because of what you've done. It's because of what's happened with your plans. It's the way you've approached the marketplace. You're going to get a good deal in the marketplace if you do the right things. It may not be what you hoped for, but you're not going to get a bad deal. You're not going to get any bad calls in the marketplace because the marketplace doesn't even know you exist. So whatever you get out of the marketplace, whether it's what you wanted or not, completely, 100% depends upon you. Now, I want to talk about customers. Customers, well, one of the things I wrote about recently was that the divining rod of success in the marketplace will always twitch in the direction of your market strategy for attracting and serving customers. Whether you're successful or not in the marketplace will depend on that one thing, your ability to attract and serve customers. You can buy all the great products, you can have the best technology, you can be the smartest person in the world, you can have all the capital in the world, you can have everything going for you. But if you can't figure out how to attract and then serve customers so that they will come back, you're not going to make it. There have been wonderful stories about people who had nothing but a great idea, a great product, and the ability to properly deliver that to customers and make them want it. They didn't have enough capital. They had all kinds of things against them, and yet they were successful. And then there are great stories where people had plenty of things going for them, lots of critical mass, but they failed, at least in that effort, if not entirely, because they lost sight of who is the most important person in the life of their company, which are their customers. Now, here's the one thing that I think is critical that you and I think about when we think about our customers, and that is all we need to know about them. A customer's life, and you might want to write this down, folks. This is going to be on the test. A customer's life is beautifully simple. It's all about them. This is the one time when it's actually acceptable to be totally self-involved, to be completely self-absorbed with yourself. And that is when you're a customer. And it doesn't require any kind of training, does it? You've been a customer before. You probably have already been today. You're going to be again today. You were, 20 times yesterday. And when you did that, you were totally self-absorbed. As you looked at the thing that you were about to buy and then maybe consume, all you could think about was, what is this to me? What's in it for me? That's the thing that we have to remember about our customers. Their life is all about them as customers, and they're asking this question, what's in it for me? With them. And so, but here's the, remember I said there was a conflict earlier? Well, here's where the conflict is. When you and I are developing our products and services, we're acquiring things. We're imagining what this is that we're going to sell. We're thinking about what this thing is that we're going to sell. And so we need this component and that component and this service to put together to create this thing that we're going to sell, whether it be a service or a product. And so in the effort of accumulating, of aggregating all of these things to make this product that we're going to sell, during that process, we are the customer. We're the people who are saying, it's all about me. And somebody else is selling to us. They actually call us their customer. But remember, we're not the end user of this. And that's where it gets tricky. We come back after these messages. I'm going to explain to you how to resolve this conflict so that you can, in fact, deliver customers what they want, which is what's in it for them. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. See, I'm a big Stones fan. Let that run a little bit, Raj. I'm a big Stones fan. I like the Rolling Stones. I've always liked the Rolling Stones. I just was so disappointed in their performance. You put it down there. I was so disappointed in their performance in the Super Bowl halftime. I mean, I don't know what was wrong. I don't know if maybe I was just in maybe I was in a Motown kind of mood. Maybe that's what it was. I wanted to see more Motown. I love Motown, but most of it anyway. But I don't know. The Stones in Detroit and out on the sound system wasn't very good. Weren't you disappointed in that? I don't know. Most halftimes aren't all that great anyway. Halftime shows aren't all that great anyway. But some are bad and some are just infamous, like a couple of years ago. But I don't know. I just couldn't get into that one. The sound system was bad. The music didn't sound good. I think, I hate to say this, folks, but I think maybe they might be slipping a little bit. Maybe, over 60, that's just the pipes just aren't there. Maybe that's what it was. All right, let's get back into our customer situation here. I've been talking about... If you just tuned in, and if you have never been here before, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're talking about the Small Business Survival Course. I'm talking about the marketplace and customers. Very important part of the marketplace, right? And I was talking about this conflict that you and I have, but when we're customers buying the stuff that we sell and trying to convert that into a product or a service to then sell to someone. So, but now think about your emotions when you're buying something to sell. Think about when you have an opportunity to buy a new product line, new colors, the next version, the new generation of whatever it is you've been selling, and you're so excited because it's got all these bells and whistles. And you're so excited about it, but think about this. At that moment, you're excited because you're a customer. But what you have to remember is what's a benefit to you as a customer, as a business customer, buying something to resell, what is a benefit to you converts merely into features for your customers. And your customers don't buy features. They buy what benefits them. They buy their benefits. They buy the things that tells them, this is what's in it for me. They don't care anything about what's in it for you. Remember that? Remember what we said earlier? A customer's life is beautifully simple. It's all about them. 100% self-absorbed, totally committed to making themselves absolutely perfectly happy. That's what they want. That's what they expect. And they expect it from you. And if all you do is show them and talk to them about for example, if you advertise, a great location, if you advertise the biggest inventory in the area, if you all these things that you talk about that when you're selling in front of them or when you're advertising, when you're doing your marketing, ask yourself this question: is that what I'm excited about? Or is that what my customers will be excited about? And you have to look at it really hard, folks. You have to really study this. And next time you're reading the newspaper or listening to an ad on the radio or a television or wherever, look at that person's ad, especially your competitors, and ask yourself, okay, does that sound like that's something that they're excited about? Or does it sound like something I should get excited about, so excited that I'm willing to give them my money for that? And that's the tension. That's where the conflict is that you and I have as small business owners between what we like, what we want to buy so that we can sell, and how excited we get about that transaction and about having that on our shelves. Haven't you done that? Haven't you bought something that you couldn't wait for it to get in so you could put it out in your store? You could put it in the storefront. You could tell your customers about it. You call them up and say, we got this great thing in. Haven't you done that? We've all done that, haven't we? So excited about it. But we've got to convert. We've got to be able to convert that excitement that we have about the things that we want to buy. We've got to convert that excitement into how we can present it, how we can talk about it, how we can write the message, how we can say the message, however we're delivering it, so that it becomes an exciting thing for our customers. And this is counterintuitive. It's a rude truth. But we've got to be able to do that, because if we can't, what's going to happen is we're going to wind up getting to keep all this stuff that we like a lot. One of my mentors used in the furniture business. I was with him one time. He bought a bunch of sofas, and they were the ugliest things I've ever seen. And I said, "Why are you buying these ugly sofas? Do you like these?" He said, "No, I don't like them, but my customers will." He knew what his customers wanted, and he knew that it couldn't be just what he liked. It had to be what they wanted. Think about it. Quick break. Gonna take a quick one. I'll be right back after these messages with our good friend Jorian Clark. She's one of our top online experts. Right back after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administat. When you're walking down the street, and you ain't had enough.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.